to Talk Is Jericho. It's the Pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll. We just had Christmas, and we are days away from New Year's Eve. I love Christmas. I love Christmas desserts, pumpkin pie, most importantly, cherry pie. So it's a perfect way to celebrate my love of cherry pie with the most popular video vixen of the 90s. She's my cherry pie. That's right. She's my cherry pie. Yes, one of the hottest girls in rock video history from the cherry pie video, for one. I'm talking about Bobby Brown. She's here on Talk Is Jericho. And she's got some great rock and roll stories, from the making of Warrant's cherry pie video, the classic, to marrying their singer Janie Lane, to later dating Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee, to filming the reality show The X-Y's of Rock, and whether maybe season 4 or not. She also spent time with Jane's Addiction guitar player Dave Navarro. She had a small role in the Vanilla Ice movie Cool as Ice, and if you can believe this, Bobby won Star Search the most times in the show's history. I remember watching Bobby Brown in Star Search. I never put two and two together that she was the cherry pie girl, but man, she was hot. In Star Search, she was hot in the 90s in the video. She's still hot now. She wrote a great book called Dirty Rocker Boys. You got to check it out. But she's talking all about Star Search. She's talking about the Ed McMahon, the host of Star Search. Bobby Brown coming up. She's got some great stories from rock and roll history. But first, we're going to talk about the best way to spend some of that Christmas cash, burning a hole in your poche. Get yourself DDP yoga and get yourself in shape. And with the holiday deal that Dallas is offering, now is the perfect time to indulge. Okay, check this out. You get 25% off all DDPY merch and swag. And when you buy a max pack or a combo, you'll get a second one for 50% off of that 25% off. All right, think about that. Everything is 25% off, but if you buy a max pack or a combo, you'll get a second one for 50% off. That's crazy. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. It's a great way to jumpstart your fitness plan for 2017. I know a lot of you are saying, you want to get in better shape, you want to eat better, you want to live a healthier life in 2017, and let DDPY help you meet all your fitness and nutrition goals. I'm sure you got your New Year's resolutions. We want to get in better shape, you want to look better, you want to feel better. Well, DDPY is going to take you there. And remember, when you buy the DDPY DVDs, you also get 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app. Okay, you know what DDPY has done for me? It kept me in the best shape of my life at 46 years old, still killing it in the WWE, mentally, physically feeling great. It's such an amazing program, and if you really believe that it's going to work, it will work. And with Diamond Dallas Page behind this, his positivity is frightening. It's very, very contagious. If he gets inside your head, you know it's going to work. You want this to work. You want to get in the best shape of your life, and DDPY can help you do that. And with the DDPY app, you can do DDPY anytime, anywhere, right from your phone or tablet. The app not only lets you do all the workouts right from your phone, it's also got a bunch of other cool features to keep you on that path to healthy living, all right? And DDP Yoga Now app subscribers won't ever get bored doing the same workouts over and over again, because DDP has added completely new 2.0 workouts and weekly live workouts from the DDP Performance Center in Atlanta, Georgia. And like I said, Dallas's Christmas spirit is still in full swing. The New Year's spirit still in full swing. He's offering you this incredible deal on DDPY. You get 25% off all DDPY merch and DVDs, and buy a max pack or a combo pack and get a second one for 50% off that price that's already 25% off. So, I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of savings you get here. And like I said, DDP Yoga has changed my life for the better. I can't say this enough. I mean, I just got Seamus to get started on it now. So many people are so excited about giving this a try because it really does work. And that's all I have to say. I mean, if you believe it, like I said, it will work. And this is it's better than any type of workout you can do. I'm telling you right now. I mean, you go to the gym, you lift weights. As you get older, it gets a little boring. It's a little tedious. It's hard on your joints. DDP Yoga eliminates all of that stuff. And just encourages the positive energy that you need to heal your mind and heal your body. So just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's all you got to do to take advantage of this great deal. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Change your life for the better day, physically and mentally, and go check it out. I'm telling you, I'm giving you my guarantee that this will work. And Talk Is Jericho fans, I know you love to be the first to know what's up with this podcast, who the guests are going to be every week, and when and where the next Talk Is Jericho live podcast is going to take place, what my plans are for future shows, all that sort of stuff. And that's why Podcast One has created a new automated email system to make sure you never miss a single episode. All you got to do is go to www.podcastone.com/Jericho to sign up, and then we'll let you know exactly who's going to be on the new show, when it's going to be on, what the subjects are going to be, what the topic is going to be, all that information comes to you. You just got to sign up now at podcastone.com/Jericho. All right. We're talking about Bobby Brown being the Warrant Cherry Pie Girl and so many other great rock and roll stories. That leads me to the Great Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which just released their inductees for 2017. As usual, me and Wise Cousin Chad will be there. You know, we go every year. We started going in 2014 when Kiss got inducted, followed through in 15 when Ringo Starr got inducted, then last year when it was Deep Purple and Cheap Trick. Now this year, the inductees, a great, great collection. And for me, most importantly, Journey finally gets in. If you look at the list of bands that I said need to be in to make this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame legit, I always said Deep Purple, Rush, and Kiss. They're all in. I said Cheap Trick and Journey. Now they're in. There's still a lot of glaring omissions. Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, Scorpions, Iron Maiden, Ozzy Osbourne is a solo band, Ted Nugent, Thin Lizzy. But let's just take it one band at a time. Journey definitely needs to be in. I'm excited about that. Pearl Jam, you knew they were going to get in. I mean, obviously they deserve it as well. Plus being a critic's darling of Rolling Stone. But rightfully so, they deserve to be in there. And Yes deserves to be in there as well, one of the biggest prog rock bands of all times. That's another one I think is on that Deep Purple, Cheap Trick, Journey list of bands that need to be in there if there's any sort of credibility for the Rock Hall of Fame. Tupac Shakur, once again, you know they're going to put in some kind of a rap artist. It's become a tradition. NWA last year, Run DMC has gone in. So Tupac, he might not sing rock and roll, but he's definitely got the rock and roll attitude. He's a rock and roll lifestyle, rock and roll legendary status of being a maverick and a rebel, and he's a pioneer, so I don't have a problem with that. Electric Light Orchestra also should be in there. I think if you're looking for the most underrated bands of the 70s, that Electric Light Orchestra should go in there. If you don't know who they are, if you don't remember them, just go Google how many top 10 hits they had. So many hits, a huge band, and definitely should be in there, so congratulations to them. As soon as I saw Joan Baez on the nomination form, I knew she would go in. Just another pioneer from the 60s, of course, from the Woodstock era. And it's funny, too, Betsy Hill from Rolling Stone, who always hooks up me and Wise Cousin Chad with great seats and great credentials in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She sent me the list of nominees, and I chose to a T exactly who was going to get in. I picked Joan Baez, Electric Light Orchestra, Journey, Pearl Jam, Tupac, and Yes, and I was right. Nile Rodgers finally gets in, not with Chic, but for being a musical excellence and being a collaborator and just one of those guys that's been around for years, making great records and influencing a lot of great albums and bands, all the way from David Bowie's Let's Dance album up until Daft Punk from a couple years ago. Get Lucky, that was a Nile Rodgers song as well. So congratulations to all the guys going in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And like I said, I still want to see Iron Maiden go in. Scorpions, Ozzy, Motorhead should be in there just from the legendary status. But another guy that should be in there as well, just from the amount of records he sold. He sold almost 100 million records and, of course, just passed away. I'm talking about George Michael. Not really a rock and roll guy, but a pop rock guy for sure. And if you're going to put Tupac in and guys like that, then definitely George Michael should be in there. And what a crazy 2016 it's been. Maybe next week or maybe on Friday we'll go through all the people we lost in 2016. Actually, no, we're going to do a Rogue One review with the Irvin kids. So let's go through right now all of the huge, huge names that we lost in 2016. And I think, as before we get through the list, I think now with so many huge performers in the 50s and 60s and 70s, I think there's going to be more prominent deaths coming up, because I think there's never been a time when there's been so many amazing performers that have lasted and have the longevity. You know, think about the Stones at 75. I mean, any one of them could die at any point. They could all die in the same year. I mean, hopefully they don't, but you know what I mean? It just seems like now these guys aren't in their 30s and 40s and 50s anymore. So obviously it started off with David Bowie, 69 years old, just a huge loss. Alan Rickman was also 69, of course, from the Harry Potter saga, and so many other great movies, especially Die Hard, which is very prominent because it's basically a Christmas movie. Glenn Frey was 67 from the Eagles, a huge loss there. Abe Vigoda, Fish, 94. I thought he had died earlier. Paul Kattner from Jefferson Airplane at 74. Nancy Reagan died at 94 in March. George Martin died at 90. The famous Beatles producer, the true fifth Beatle of all the candidates that you have, Pete Best or Brian Epstein. George Martin definitely created the sound of the Beatles. Fife Dog from Tribe Called Quest at 45. Gary Shandling at 66. That was a huge one. Larry Sanders, still one of the best shows of all time. Patty Duke, formerly known as Patty Duke Austin at 69. Merle Haggard at 79 in April. Doris Roberts at 90, of course, from Everyone Loves Raymond. China passed away at 46. My old nemesis there when I first came to the WWE. Prince at 57. That was a huge one. Then you get guys like Morley Safer at 84. And if you get in your 80s and 90s and 70s, I can get that. But there's a lot of, you know, younger people. Muhammad Ali at 74. Kimbo Slice at 42, Gordie Howe at 88, Mr. Hockey. Wow, that was a huge one. Forgot about that. And then we also got Gene Wilder at 83. That was another Willy Wonka himself. And then Arnold Palmer at 87, probably the world's most famous golfer. Leonard Cohen at 82, just a few weeks ago. Robert Vaughn at 83, the man from Uncle. Florence Henderson, of course, Mrs. Brady at 82. Castro, Fidel Castro at 90. John Glenn at 95. I had no idea he was that old. He was the first U.S. Astronaut to orbit the Earth, which is insane. Alan Thicke just a few days ago at 69. Played hockey with him a few times at the Christopher Reeve Super Skate Foundation. Great guy, nice guy. Then we had Craig Sager, a longtime NBA sideline reporter. He had flashy suits, probing questions. Zsa Zsa Gabor at 99. She almost made it. And then, of course, George Michael at 53. So a lot of huge deaths. And like I said, unfortunately, I think they're just going to get more frequent with the amount of older performers. But remember, just live every life each day to its fullest. Love your family, love your friends, and just love what you do, man. Life is too short. I'm glad that we're still here. I'm glad that you're still here with me, and I'm glad that we got Bobby Brown, Warrant's Cherry Pie Girl, and man, she was hot. She still is. Very, very cool chick, and I was very excited to have her on the show, and we're going to get started with Bobby. She's my cherry pie!
Talk is Jericho.
Okay, so what a crazy day with Bobby Brown, and you rushed to get here just in time.
I did.
Through the LA traffic.
I did.
Were you guys using the carpool lane?
We did.
I use the carpool lane, but I don't have somebody in my car with me. Do you get a ticket on that?
You do. I do it sometimes too, and I pretend in my mind that I have someone in the back seat
yeah,
or something.
Too, right?
Or I have my dog, and I pretend like I'm going to say if I get pulled over, like, oh, I thought, like the dumb blonde thing, I have my dog.
See, I've done that too, because I have a Florida license, uh-huh. And so they pull me over. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not from here.
Know. Yeah.
Only you have to have someone in your car to drive here,
yeah.
But that's the LA way, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's great to have you here, and it's funny because I was just watching. I had no idea, honestly, no idea.
Okay.
Just watching a couple weeks ago, live from Lexi's mom's garage.
Oh, no way.
Because the Steel Panther dudes are friends of mine. We've toured together. We're buds.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to check it out. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's Bobby,
yeah.
Lexi's mom.
Yeah.
How fun is that?
That was crazy when they asked me to play his mom. I was like, wow, that's a first to play someone's mom. I was like, should I be offended? No.
Not to mention that you're younger than them,
yeah.
By the way. Yeah.
So, which makes it kind of funnier,
yeah.
And that they're campy and funny in that way. So that was kind of cool. But I was still kind of like, I'm playing someone's mom, but I am a mom. So
yeah.
It's kind of funny. And but I was like, yeah, whatever, because I have a sick sense of humor as well. And I get, you know, I'm just as sick as they are, so I was like, "That's fine," and we had fun. So,
have you seen Steel Panther before? Have you checked them out?
Yeah. Oh my God, yes, I've known those guys for years.
I mean, isn't the vibe? It is fun.
Yeah,
which is such a interesting. Like a lot of rock bands is not as fun in these days. Like
no,
they are,
and they're super down to earth, and like I say whatever, they say whatever, and we ask. You know, we're genuine with one another, and. But I've known them for years. Like, I have a crazy story about them, mm-hmm. that I know that involves Janie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I've known them for a long time.
You gave me a copy of your book, Dirty Rocker Boys, and it's a great, great piece of work.
Thanks.
Talking about that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the boomerang aspect of that. You had been around and had, had dalliances and kind of got screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you decided to turn the tide and get the guys back.
Well, it's not really get the guys back. It's more of a from a woman's perspective, mm-hmm. or from a woman's side of, you know, side, basically. Because mm-hmm. all the men, you know, tell their stories and nobody has anything to say about it. It's all good.
Right.
But no woman has ever really told the truth and everybody's been cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just said, you know, it's time. It's time for me to say something. And not everybody's been cool with it, but I told the truth.
But I mean, but I'm not talking about writing the book. I'm talking about how, like, in the book you say that you after... the Jane Lane thing ended and the Tommy Lee thing ended, that you are now going to go and get some revenge.
Right. Yeah, I did go through a hate fucking time in my life where I was kind of like, yeah, I'm going to flip the script right now, like, mm-hmm. and teach you bitches what's up. I did go through that. Can't say it was the most rewarding experience for me, but I did do it, mm-hmm. just to be like, I'll see what it's like.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And how was it like for you?
I mean, in the moment, it was kind of like, you know, but sticking it wasn't rewarding mm-hmm. to me or fulfilling it. But, you know,
it's like the woman scorned type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I walked away going like, take that. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I was still like bitter.
Right. Yeah. But when you moved out here and the scene was such a cool vibe, we mentioned the Steel Panther, the party vibe, mm-hmm. the fun vibe. I mean, what a time for you to come out to L.A. And I'm assuming you're probably 19, 20, mm-hmm. something like that.
I was exactly 19. Yeah.
How was that for you to come and be a part of this like mythical, legendary L.A. scene?
It was a time that is so hard to describe. It was such a decadent like time. To describe it is almost unreal. Like, mm-hmm. it's never again been recreated. I don't think it could be, you know, because it was before computers and when people were famous for a reason.
Good point,
and not
yeah.
everybody was, you know, you could be famous just because you're on a reality show or mm-hmm. whatever. And it was just, I don't know, it was just a special time, you know, and everything was over the top, big or like, I don't know, it's just hard to describe, but it was a special time. And, you know, I don't think it ever will be that way again, mm-hmm. you know, and I remember it fondly. But at the time, it just seemed like, you know, oh, everything's so dramatic or I'm in so much pain. And now I look back on those times as the most fun I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I used to watch you on Star Search.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to watch it on Sunday nights before I went to school or maybe it was... Maybe,
oh, my God. How old are you?
Well, I think we're pretty much the same age.
Oh, okay.
Because how old were you when you did Star Search?
I was 19, 20. Let's see. I was 20. So if it was 1990, I was... Yeah.
Talking about 87, 88. Was it 88,
89? 87, I graduated high school.
Okay.
So then I moved out here after that.
So you were on Star Search when you were already living out here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It was like the year after I moved out here, and then that's where Janie saw me, and then I got married in 91, had my daughter in 92, mm-hmm. so.
But Star Search was kind of like the first, yeah. almost like American Idol, America's mm-hmm. Top Model, all those things rolled up into one.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yep.
How was that experience?
That was so cool. Mm-hmm. It was real. I didn't even realize or appreciate it for what it was. It was just kind of like, they were like, hey, do you want to be on this, you know, show or whatever? And I was like, yeah. And I did it, and I got on, and it was cool. I didn't appreciate it until I didn't win the 100,000, and that's when it hit me like, oh, damn, I just lost this thing. But I won more times than anyone in the history of that show.
Right, like, was it a weekly thing where, and then you kind of go on a roll, and then next week you come back, and then...
Yep, like, I won more times than anyone in any category, but I lost the final, you know, 100,000.
How did you lose?
You know, the chick who won, who had lost after her third episode, and they brought back the one chick who had won the most times in comparison to anyone else, as opposed to my 13, because they didn't have anybody else to compete next to me, which is stupid. Mm-hmm. Somebody said she paid the judges. And then they asked me if I wanted to do anything about it, like, do you want to press charges? Do you want to cause a scene? And I was too proud. Like, I was like, wow. Already butthurt. That I lost, you know, press. And so I thought, no, I'm not going to be like that. Like, I'm like, oh, I lost, so I'm going to mm-hmm. press charges and cause a scene. So I was like, no, I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to seem like that, because the reruns gave me enough exposure for being on so much to get enough work. Like, nobody ever heard from her ever again, even though she won the 100 grand and I worked so much.
So she paid them off.
So I was told.
Wow.
Yeah, because after the show, all of the judges were all like, kissing her ass, like all, you know, whatever. And then somebody came, oh, well, that's what happens when you pay the judges off. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, okay.
You didn't know any better.
I had no idea.
Wow.
And plus, what was his name? Ed McMahon said my name first. So I stood there like an idiot.
Like an idiot.
Yeah, like he said, oh, and the winner is Bob. And then he looks down and he says her name, and I went, did he screw up?
Did he pull a Steve Harvey?
Yes.
Wow.
And so I was like, do I stay? Do I go? Like, okay. And then I walked away. and I felt really dumb. And then I cried. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa. But I think he just assumed I was going to win because I'd won.
So many times.
And looked down and saw that it wasn't my name and then went, Bobby Debbie James. I was like, wow.
What a tease for you, too. Like, Bob. Oh, for that 1 second, you're just like, yeah.
I was just, what? It was womp, like, womp. What a burn. Yeah, I was like, wah, wah. So.
Did you have any interactions with Ed at all? Like, did you ever see him or did they just keep away?
He was pretty lurky.
He's pretty what?
Lurky.
Lurky.
Yeah.
Is that like creepy?
Beyond.
Beyond creepy.
Yeah.
Somewhere between creepy and rapey.
Very much so.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Lurky.
Good definition, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, pretty much kind of like, hey, like that you imagine the porn music. Yeah, like open the door naked, like, oops, that was an accident.
Sorry.
Hi.
Come in my dressing room.
Yeah. Oh, excuse the what is that? Lazy Susan joke. The Lazy Susan about the stage. Yeah. Every time I'm like,
yeah.
Again, dude, like every, I've been here 13 episodes. We're going to do the Lazy Susan joke again. Okay. So, yeah, he was that
was
guy.
Was it just Ed?
McMahon?
Yeah, I know, but just he was like the sole host. There was
he was the only host.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Wow, so a little lurky. That's a good word.
A lot lurky.
So but what you're saying, though, because you had done this show and had so much exposure that people found you and started hiring you for other gigs?
Yeah.
You said Janie saw you on Star Search?
Yes.
Oh, he was watching Star Search, too?
And so did my boyfriend, Matthew Nelson, came to that show, and that's how I started dating him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Matthew was the first kind of, like,
like
musician.
He showed up, yeah. He showed up with his brother, and they were both like, "Oh, hey, I like you." And I was like, "I just was dating an asshole, so I like the nice guy."
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but
I love Nelson. They're a great band.
Yeah.
Did they ever pull any twin tricks on you?
Tried to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd they do?
You did not read the book.
I did, but let me tell you this: it was a couple years ago.
Okay.
I bought it when I actually, Bobby, have it on hardcover.
On hard. Oh, so you so got it like
when it came out, which I think was it 2010 or 11?
No, was it 13? No.
Okay,
14.
So it was 2-3 years ago.
No, it was 2014.
I wouldn't say I read it if I didn't.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah.
It was 2014. It was 2 years ago.
I could tell you a story in it.
What was it that stood out? What? Dave Navarro.
It was DiCaprio's.
Oh gosh, that was the first 15. Seconds.
Well, that was the story. It was in there, right?
Yeah, you know why? I think that it's because it was the first 15 seconds and everybody blew that out of the water.
No pun intended.
Exactly. But right. Everybody freaked out about it because they weren't expecting it and he was a big A-list celebrity. I was like, that's so boring.
Well, but that was in there, though.
Yeah, but it's like, move on.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm just giving you proof.
No, I know.
That I perused and read the book.
I liked it.
So we're talking about the twin tricks, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they tried to do that and I was like, no way.
But one had bangs and one had all one length hair.
Yeah.
Didn't you figure that out?
What? Which one was which?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they just tried to do the menage thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that weird if two brothers do a menage?
I think so.
I think it is.
I think so.
You know, I'm not...
yeah, I think so.
Wouldn't want to do a menage
no,
with my brother.
I think that's kind of...
That's kind of creepy, right?
Yeah,
I would
think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then how did you eventually get the gig for the Cherry Pie video, which was just amazing?
Janie saw me on Star Search, and they called me and said, hey, we want you for this video, and I didn't show up, and they were like, oh, hey, she didn't show up. And they had me go to Jerry's Deli the next day, and I walked up, and they're like, okay, you got the part. And I was like, all right. And so I did the video, and that was it.
It was a classic, though, even the album cover with the cherry pie falling right in your crotch area, which was a nice little touch.
Yeah.
But that was the time.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, everybody, it was like all the women's libbers were like, it's so bad, so bad. Yeah, and I was shocked when it came out. Like, I was in it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow.
That's, you're the star.
I couldn't believe how much I was in it. I was like, wow, that was insane.
It could be one of like, it's sexy is the word, which I think it would be. The sexiest videos, like you're the that would be the sexiest performance if we were giving out video Oscars.
They wanted it to be way more. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
What more did they want you to do?
Oh my God, like be naked in a vat of whipped cream and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, no. And then the whole hose thing. they did once. I was like, I'm not doing that again.
Because
it was
the fire
like,
hose.
It was like a car accident to the face. Like really, it was like a real fire hose with the real pressure.
Yeah.
Like my eyelids flew off my head for a second. I was like, what? Like yeah. I turned my head right away because it hurt.
Yeah.
I'm, like, I'm not doing that again.
All the makeup is coming off.
I'm not
and
doing that again.
Face off. Right.
Hope you got that shot because I'm not doing that again. Yeah. Yeah. And the director was kind of a dick. Kind of a misogynist a little bit. And I was like, not doing that.
I mean, you must have, like, what was your defense mechanism at this time, knowing that every guy is trying to, it still probably is that way, guys are just trying to pick you up, hating on you incessantly, lazy Susan jokes, lurky.
Before that, it wasn't really like that. It didn't really dawn on me. I wasn't all like, yep, everybody wants me. After that, after getting kind of my heart broken, then I became an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Then I became kind of like, yeah, screw you. Then I became a dick. On purpose. And then I became kind of like non-trusting, you mm-hmm. know, then you become like kind of jaded. It's kind of a shitty cycle to be shit on and then really want to be in love again,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, yeah.
Especially out here in Hollywood where it's the land of,
for real. Yeah.
You know, a lot of fake people and that sort of a vibe.
Opportunists left and right. So you never really know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people can look you in the eye with tears and just be like, I love you, and lie. And you're like, wow. You know, it's crazy,
mm-hmm.
the sociopaths that are here.
Well, yeah. And especially when you become kind of the it girl.
It's weird.
And if you're going for that early 90s time frame and you were like the, like I said, the it girl, you did a bunch of the videos, but everyone mm-hmm. knew you.
Like girls and guys, like my best friend and my boyfriend. Like it's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Just so weird. Yeah.
Was it hard? Because, I mean, obviously you're a famous, pretty girl, dating all of these other famous people. Is that kind of, is it weird when you're under the spotlight like that? Okay, you're dating Matthew Nelson, then you're dating Navarro, and then you got DiCaprio or whatever it is. Is it harm relationship when you're in that position?
Does it harm the relationship?
Is it a lot of pressure?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I guess kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that like dating a normal guy after that would be the way to go. Like I'm like, the next guy I date is not going to be in the scene, you know, entertainment, whatever. And they're going to worship me, like, you know, treat me like gold. Even worse, because I was completely wrong because they felt like they couldn't live up to the,
right.
like, then they treated me even worse because they felt like I have to compete or all this weird stuff. So I was like, wow, where's the happy medium here?
It's hard for a guy when the girl's in the spotlight, you know, and the focus, because the guy's supposed to be that.
It's just bizarre to me. Yeah. Mm. It's like, you know, there's no happy medium sometimes. And I just feel like, you know, regardless of all that extra shit, like, just lift each other up, you know, like, it shouldn't be about what you do and the money you make. And it just should be about, you know, your heart and like love,
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, your career and who makes the most money. Like I support you when I'm down, you know, you support me when I, you know, vice versa. Like should just be about what's in here and not the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's not in LA, not a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Janie.
Okay.
I think a very underrated songwriter mm-hmm. and musician. And a lot of that's because, you know, you fall into the hair band category, mm-hmm. which for some reason doesn't get respected.
Yeah.
And I still don't know why. Because if you're going to the 60s, okay, it's kind of, 50s is doo-wop.
Yeah.
60s was kind of like, you know, the Beatles type thing, Dave Clark 5. 70s is disco and kind of sludgy. 80s is hair band, but it doesn't get looked upon like as a product of its time.
Yeah. I agree. And it was really early 90s, right? Like in the 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
I don't really know why. I think that there were so many that were kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
And then there were some that were really good. So I think they kind of all got thrown together because with the cheesy came, you know, the makeup and the hair and the whatever. So that's what kind of made it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like thrown into the cheesy genre. Like, you know, have like, you know, you have your Poison and, you know, the cover is all like, who, you know, those
hot. I thought the drummer from Poison on the cover of
the
first,
it was a chick, right?
I thought it was the hottest girl I'd seen.
A lot of people say that.
And they look in the back, Ricky Rocket. Oh, her name is Ricky. And then you look and it's like, wait a second, that's a guy.
Exactly. And their asses were smaller than mine. You know what I mean? Like, for real. Like, you didn't know on the strip who was a chick and who wasn't.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, for real.
Because it was the more you look like a girl, the more girls wanted to hang out with you.
Completely. I have a picture of me and Matthew standing, you know, side by side with our backs, and our hair is the same length.
Yes.
And it looks exactly the same from behind.
Yeah.
My mom took it. And I was like, this is crazy, right?
Crazy hair, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, back then, just weird. And I remember my mom going like, you think that guy's cute? He has more makeup on than you. And I was like, I know.
He's so weird.
I know, right? Now if a guy puts on a lot of makeup, you're like, really? Hair farmer? Go cut your hair. What's yeah. going on?
We played a big festival last year, and I had some eyeliner. Just put a little eyeliner on, you know, something that's kind of special. Like, what are you doing?
No, I like that a little bit.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's still... You still have to look good.
Yeah.
I didn't like the phase where bands just looked like bums.
You know, I hated that.
I never got that.
What was that, garage band phase?
Yeah, kind of grunge band sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's still show business, right?
Yeah. Are you in a band? I did not know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, and you still want to look the part.
Exactly.
Unless you're AC/DC where you go on stage with your jeans and t-shirts.
Yeah.
You should be putting on some kind of...
Yeah.
Take off one shirt and put on another to go on stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about Janie. What are your memories of him as a guy?
As a guy?
Yeah, good guy, obviously.
When he wasn't drinking?
Mm-hmm.
Really good guy. You know, he had his demons like everyone else, I guess. And especially those came out when he was drinking. But I really feel like that he was a drunk who tried to escape certain feelings or things that, you know, emotions that had happened to him or events that had happened. And, you know, alcohol is not the drug of choice to do that.
Right.
Like when you're trying to escape something, alcohol is probably not the thing to do because it's a barbiturate, a downer, and therefore it's going to make things worse. So, yeah, and you know, never got better. And he wasn't the kind of guy that would ever, like, take the note to get therapy. He'd be like, oh, he was a know-it-all kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, no. But he wasn't. He didn't know it all. And so he'd never really go to therapy or whatever. He always thought, you know, that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if I was ever sick, he'd be like, mind over matter. I'm like, really? Like, not good. I, you know, on my deathbed over here, my mom would have to fly into town to take me to the hospital,
right, for real.
So, yeah, things like that wasn't the best idea. But, yeah, he was a good guy in general, though, like had a good heart. And when he was, you know, not drinking, really genuine or generous and nice and very talented.
Absolutely.
You know, great singer, very talented writer. You know, he could write a ballad. I always thought he was an amazing ballad writer. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
I just wanted him, you know, he would write an album and, he, you know, guy, they always get caught up like wanting to do this great rock song. And I'd be like, write a ballad, you know, because that'll be number one for sure. And they're like, I don't want to be known as ballad writer, you know. And I'm like, trust me, like, you're the best ballad writer in the world. You don't want to be known as ballad. I'm like, for real.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I want to be known as badass, you know, rock songwriter. I'm like, okay. But yeah, his ballads were amazing, I thought.
Did you ever tour with Warrant?
All the time, yeah.
Good time. Like, was it like a kind of a party vibe, or was it?
It was ish. I mean, mind you, I toured with Motley too. Two totally different tours.
Wow, right.
Yeah. So compared to Motley tour, no. Not so much. More of a tame party. But, you know, looking back, probably more preferred, you know, if you want to survive, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, they partied to an extent, I guess. Maybe too much. No.
But when you did the Cherry Pie video, you guys weren't dating at that point,
huh? Oh, no. I was dating Matthew. And,
oh, okay.
But he was sending me flowers and, you know, went on Howard Stern and was like, I'm going to marry her. Sorry, Matt. And I was like, what?
What do you think when you hear that?
I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. That's crazy. And Matt was all like, what the hell happened? I'm like, nothing? That's crazy.
Is that a lurky thing to do to go on the radio, or is it kind of a romantic thing?
I thought I was flattered. I thought, oh my God,
he's
crazy. I mean, at the time I thought, he's nuts. What is he thinking? He's crazy. But as soon as Matthew pulled some stunt, I was like, check this out. Hey, guess what? Guess who I'm going to go out with? You know what I mean?
There you go, so, right.
I guess in a retrospect, it kind of worked.
Well, yeah, because like you said too, it's like all those guys are not in competition, but they're in competition musically.
No, they are. I think people in rock are definitely in competition, whether they admit it or not. They are, because to their face, they're like, "Oh yeah, man, I'm down for you." And that person turns around, they're like, "Fucking hate that guy." screw that guy. Yeah. Like, I don't know that there's so many people who are down for each other in rock, for real. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you agree?
It's show business in general, I think.
I think so, too.
Even if you're really good friends with someone, I mean, obviously,
it's a little jealous,
you want them to do great. But when they do great, in the back of your mind, it's still like, oh, that should be me.
You're kind of like, if they do great, you're kind of like, oh, that's awesome, man. Like, calling your manager, look them up.
Yeah. How did he get this and I didn't get it?
What's up?
Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned the Motley thing because you were engaged to Tommy. Mm-hmm. You talked about that in the book. Mm-hmm. So was that completely a different world? I mean, Warrant was a big band, but Motley Crue is gigantic.
Right. Yes. Know? Totally different world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. Just on a different money level, completely, you know. But also, you know, controlling. Different level controlling aspect as well, you know? Mm-hmm. Tommy was completely power hungry. Janie wasn't like so much like that. Just, you know, two different men completely, right. But in the same world, and the world is very corrupt, you know? So, you know, if somebody said, hey, I really want to be a singer and be famous in the music industry, do you suggest it? I'd say, hey, don't ask me. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me. I don't want to give you any advice on that. But if it were me personally, I probably would take up a new hobby or something. I would probably do something else and make money.
Were you still like modeling and stuff like that during this time frame? Or at this point, are you just going on the road with your guy?
Oh, yeah. I was still working and everything. But when I was with Tommy, he didn't allow me to work or do anything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So because, I had to focus on him or whatever. And that's mm-hmm. how that went.
Yeah.
And then, so I quit that for a year, and then I started back work after that.
Because once again, you're talking about having such a big name value. Were there some other girls on the scene that you were friends with as well?
On the scene? I mean, like Charisse, who's on my show with me, who was my best friend at the mm-hmm. time.
And this was your show, like,
Wives of Rock. Yeah, Ex-Wives of Rock.
So it was you, Cherie, and that was Vince's ex-wife?
Mm-hmm. And Athena, who's Tommy's sister.
Okay.
And Blue, who is Jerry Dixon, who was in Warrant.
Warrant's bass player, yeah.
Yeah. But I was also a friend with, you know, Joey's wife, who was in Warrant, and, you know, a couple other people, the drummer's wife, Kathy, who was in Warrant, and stuff like that. And best friends with Axel. My modeling agent, Tracy, like, I'm still friends with all those people. So, yeah, we all hung out and got crazy and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're still all friends.
I was going to say that. You're still friends, like, you guys made it through the war together.
Yeah, we totally did. We totally did.
Most of them divorced, right?
Most? I think all of them.
All of them.
Yeah, except for Gilby and Daniela. Gilby Clark and Daniela, they're still together.
And Duff and his wife Susan are still together.
Yeah, but they got married much later, and
I got you.
Yeah.
So how was your show when you did the Rocker Ex-Wives?
We stopped filming last year, and we're still holding out for season 4, but it was the most fun I think I've ever had. Like, to get paid to hang out with your friends is not a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, to be yourself, get paid to be yourself and hang out with your friends is awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff did you guys do in the show?
Everything. Like
it's a reality show, right?
It's not written. This was just for real.
Completely off the cuff.
This was not a scripted show. This was completely off the cuff, and we lived by the seat of our pants, and there was so much more that had to be edited out because of that reason.
Yeah.
But I really think that we should have done a bloopers reel off of that show because of it. But so fun. Like, it got to the point where we just didn't even realize the cameras were there. You know, but the most fun we've ever had. Probably saved all of our lives at that point, for real, you know?
Because that's the thing, like, too, when you have, like, no one will ever know what you guys went through mm-hmm. except for you guys.
Yeah.
So you'll always have that connection and that kindred spirit, right?
Yeah. And we still are close, and we still hang out, you know, without cameras all mm-hmm. the time and talk on the phone all the time. Yeah. So we always will, you know?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah. You mentioned we were talking about your book, and when I said that I had a story, you're like, is it the Dave Navarro story?
Yes, so many people bring that up.
What was the Navarro? Tell me the Navarro story. Yeah,
just that whole, you know, dildo thing on stage.
What's the, what?
Or him, the jerking off thing. Just, he was crazy. Like, when I met him, he put on a video of him masturbating and went downstairs, and he was like, I'm downstairs screwing the starfucker. I'll be right back. And he goes, here, I'll put in a movie for you. And he put in a movie of himself masturbating and went downstairs. And then I was like, okay. And then he was just crazy and wild. And I was just like, whoa. But I tried to play it off like, oh, this is no big deal. And I was just like horrified. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, but watch this movie while I go.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh my God. Just freaking out like, what the f-? Yeah, and then when he came back up, the girl who he was with, he was like, yeah, we took some Polaroids, and he shows me the Polaroids, and then he has a sticker that says Starfucker on it. He smacks it on the girl's shoulder and shoves her out the front door. And wow. I was like, okay, that's, and I'm not joking, I'm not exaggerating, that's exactly what happened. And I was like, hi, nice to meet you, how are things? Like, and I try to play it cool, like, yeah, I do this all the time, that was so cool, but
does it surprise you, I mean, now kind of being in the real world, but at this time, how insane rocker guys can be? Like you said, they just, and also how insane the girls can be.
I mean, so insane. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that girl. She was a friend of mine. She was actually at my house earlier that day. So when he said he was downstairs from a starfucker, when I saw that it was her being shoved out the front door, I was like, hey, what's it like? Oh my God, I couldn't mm-hmm. believe it. And he did so many crazy things over a period of time that were off the wall that I'm just like, this is so insane, but hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just people wouldn't believe it.
Right.
But I thought it was funny because I get off on doing that to people, like getting a reaction from people just because I think I have a comedic sense of humor. But, you know, my little brother would be horrified. I brought him over there one time and we just sat on the couch and he couldn't see Dave at all. And Dave had like a big feather boa on and he had his huge piano. And all of a sudden you hear like, you know, the piano going off. My brother's 8 years younger and he's like looking around and a puppet comes up, like a unicorn puppet, like, hi, blah, 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 over the piano. My brother's like, hey, what's up? Hey. And it starts singing a Prince song. And I'm with a straight face like,
right into
like
it,
playing it off, and my brother's looking at me like, what is going on right now? What's going on? So that happened, and then like a week later,
was it Dave with the puppet?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course.
A week later,
I don't tell my brother that, you know, Dave's gonna come over with the puppet on the side of the house in my where my brother's window is,
mm-hmm.
and like knock on the window. My brother was taking a nap and knocks on the window, and there's the puppet, like. My brother's like, what the f-? Like, jumped so high. My dog was sleeping with him. The dog comes squirting out the side of the bed. It was like the funniest shit ever. Like, I look back on stories like that and just like shit my pants because it's so funny, right? But people go like, that didn't happen. Yeah, it did.
But it was just the normal thing. Had you seen the puppet before?
Not before he did it to my brother.
Okay.
But I still would roll with it.
Sure. Like, I mean, why not, right? Why wouldn't you have a puppet?
Hilarious because I love that kind of shit. You know, I mean, I would just roll with it. But yeah, just because I thought it was so funny to do stuff like that to people and to my brother especially. So, yeah.
What did your mom think in, like when you moved from small town Louisiana and suddenly you're the cherry pie girl?
My mom was proud and, you know, boasted and stuff like that. You know, she wasn't so happy when I, you know, got into drugs and had some problems, obviously. But, yeah, she was super proud,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, your little girl was a star.
Yeah, she was super proud.
Did you ever see girls, like groupies and stuff like that, try crazy stuff to try and meet the guys?
Or oh, my God, yes.
Like what extremes did some of the girls go to?
Oh, my gosh. Like, they had pussy passes, you know? Molly did. And mm-hmm. so if you saw a pass that had a pee on it, we knew that basically they did all kinds of shit to get back there, like to any like stagehand, grapher, roadie, whatever, like gnarly shit, like to be back there. And wow. I'm like, whoa. And I would get a super soaker, you know, those things, and
guns,
like
yeah.
soak them from the side of the stage. I would get in trouble for doing that, but I would do that just for fun. And, but yeah, they had. And that would be sad to me because I'd be like, why the fuck? Just to be back there, just to be like, all, hey,
Because you always heard that story, like, you know, if you blow the roadie.
Yeah.
So if they did that, then they would get the backstage pussy pass.
Yeah.
And then that would enable them just to hang around.
I mean, to be, like, just to be, like, a glimpse. It's not like they could sit next to Tommy and be like, hey, what's up? You know, whatever. Like, because these weren't, like, hot, desirable people that, you know, they wanted to meet. Like, Tommy and them wanted to meet. It would be, like, whoever to, you know. So they could get a glimpse or whatever. And so they didn't get treated very well, really, you know, I mean, all the time. So, but they didn't care. So they might get to see, you know, one of them pass by, or, you know, one of them might get spit on, or one of them might get, you know, pie in the face, or who knows, like whatever. They were willing to take a chance and do whatever to get that. And that was unfortunate to me. In my eyes, I was like, that's sad.
Yeah, it's a very not a lot of self-respect for that. But then
women didn't give a shit.
They didn't care, right?
No, they don't care. They didn't care. Yeah.
I'm sure the band guys would look at the pee passes and just go, "Ugh."
Yeah. They'd be like, "Oh, hey, what's up? Fucking hooker or whatever." Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they thought, and they never commented on. They never were all like, "Oh, look at that poor girl." Like, they never had any
more chicks hanging around backstage. You know, the better, right?
Yeah, I was asking the guys from Steel Panther, like, "Do you guys get like super uber fans and like whatever?" And they're like, "Yeah, like for real." Because I'm thinking they're like comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like, I'm not thinking they're like they have fans like real bands do, and they're like, "Yeah," and I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know." Like, I don't know, because I think y'all are funny. Because I think your songs are funny and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, we do." And I'm like, tell me about it. And they're like, "Well, you know, it's not like." And then the other guy would be like, "Dude, come on." Like that one girl that follows you from state to state, country to country.
But that's the thing with Steel Panther that's interesting, is because they started out, like you said, like
I'm not naming names, but
they're not a real band. But the thing
is, they are.
Well, sure they are. But they're taking the stuff that we're laughing about that was real.
Right.
And doing a parody of it.
Exactly.
Which now makes it real again.
Right.
Because it's 25 years down the road.
Exactly. Like they were a band that tried to be a real band. That didn't make it.
In a bunch of different incarnations.
Right. That didn't make it as a real band, like being serious. They said, screw this. Let's make fun of ourselves.
And the scene. And the scene, time frame.
And the time frame. And make a joke about it and all of it. And it blew the f*** up, right? But they are excellent musicians, amazing singers, you know.
The hooks are great for the songs.
Everything. Yeah. And incredibly funny.
Yeah.
Right? So it paid off.
Yeah.
Right? But to be taken seriously, everybody was like, "Nah, get out." Right? But now that it just paid off.
But now there are those girls, like we did the Kiss Cruise with them last year.
Who are freaking out.
And they get the girls to come on stage and dance with them. And these are the gorgeous, pretty girls.
No, we have girls older than me to girls like of all ages who are uber obsessed fans of these guys.
Right.
Like for real. So when I ask that question, they're like, "Are you stupid?" Like, yeah. Like even more so than regular bands. I was like, "Really?" They're like, "Yeah. Where have you been?" I'm like, "Wow."
But you've seen all that for real with Lauren, with crew.
Yeah, I just didn't know that. You know, comedians, because I considered them kind of comedians, had that as well. And they're like,
that was their stick. You know?
Yeah, I didn't know because I thought they were, you know, campy comedian guy musicians.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah, dude, even more than just regular musicians, because we're comedy and musicians." I was like, "Wow, excuse me."
And doing something that doesn't exist anymore, which is the spandex and the makeup and the like you mentioned, we mentioned earlier, the attitude and the fun vibe, which I think was really missed when things moved away from, you know, from that early 90s, late 80s vibe.
Yeah, I wrote a whole TV show after I worked with them. I wrote some reality shows. I wrote a whole like episode for them with them afterwards, and I sent it to them. I'm like, "Hey, if you ever want to spin this or film this, let me know." They're like, "Okay, we'll keep that in mind." Like, they're like, "You're really sick though on the head, like we are." I'm like, "Yes, I am."
Yes, I am. How could I not be?
Yeah,
like
right.
What I've been doing for the last 25 years.
Yeah, or participate with you guys if I wasn't.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Yeah.
What were your favorite bands, or what are your favorite bands?
My favorite bands back then or now?
Now both.
I don't really, you know.
Like when you went out to L.A., were you like a Poison fan and a Warrant fan, or were you not into
that? Really. I didn't even know who Warrant was. Mm-hmm. And then when I did the video, I was like, oh my God, you guys did that Heaven song? They were like, oh, you're funny. I'm like, I didn't even know. I liked dance music.
Okay, like late 80s
dance music.
Black music
or
right.
pop music. Mm-hmm. I liked Skid Row.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Motley Crue. I liked Quiet Riot. I like dance music, but I liked Orgy. You know, mm-hmm. I like all kinds of stuff.
Orgy was cool, kind of like a rockin' techno dance type
thing,
right?
Yeah, and they have a new record now. It's really good coming out. But yeah, country not my favorite thing so
right,
much.
Right.
But yeah, so I like those bands. I like Incubus a lot. Brandon Boyd's voice is amazing, I think.
Do people still recognize you as the Cherry Pie Girl?
No, only if they find out that it's me,
mm-hmm.
then they go, oh, okay, I see it. But never am I walking down the street and somebody go like, oh my God, it's the Cherry Pie Girl, like out of nowhere.
Right.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No. I mean, in my 20s, maybe early 30s, yeah, but not now. You know, not now.
Is that cool to be known as the? I was just saying the Cherry Pie Girl. That's what we're talking to you about. Is that a badge of honor?
Obviously, yeah. Because otherwise, we wouldn't be talking right now
mm-hmm.
if it wasn't right.
Right.
And I probably wouldn't be having a career yeah. or a book
yeah.
if it wasn't. So yeah, I'm happy with it. I mean, there was a time where I was like, I don't want to be known for that or talk about that. But that's dumb. That was a stupid, angry phase I went through. A bitter phase for like a year or two. And yeah. I've been over that for a while.
It's interesting. I had Vanilla Ice on this show, and he said the same. Like, for a time, you know, early 2000s, he's like, you know, hey, you're Ice Ice Baby. No.
Exactly.
Don't ever say that again. And then you realize that you caught this moment in time
yeah.
of people wanting to be known for something.
Yep.
And you are iconic for that thing.
And
so
you embrace it.
Go for it, right?
Yeah. I know him. I was in his movie.
Cool as Ice?
Yes.
You're in Cool as Ice?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you've just gotten even cooler in my
really?
Eyes.
Really? Yeah.
That was the movie that he made when he was at his peak in about 91.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty rotten.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's really bad,
yep.
but it's a classic because it's so bad.
Mm-hmm. I was in that movie.
Were you really?
Yep.
Did you have a big part? Or did you
I see him in a club and I walk up to him and I'm like, hey, here's my number or some shit. I give him my number, or my name's Monique or some crap, and I give him my number.
Monique.
And I write my phone number down, and he's all like, yeah, I'll give you a call or some shit, and he walks out. And then it goes to, like, Naomi Campbell performing.
And that's it?
Yeah.
That's you just had a little walk-on there.
And I remember the
cameo.
Scene. I remember I was there for the day, and I was like, because he walks up to me, and he's all, yo, yo, yup, yup, what's up? And I went, wow. Oh, okay, like in person.
Oh, no, for real. Okay.
Yeah, not in the scene. He was like, yo, yo, yup, yup, what's up? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I gotta go. Bye. I was like, that was creepy. And that was it. And
that was larky. Lurky.
It was very lurky.
Very lurky.
It was Battlestar Galactica. No, I'm kidding. Stupid.
Battlestar Galactica.
I'm silly.
I like that one.
Yeah, I just made that up.
That's the new title of the episode. You just made that up right now?
Yeah.
Ooh, good. Quick.
Yeah, I'm pretty witty.
Did anybody get mad at you for the stuff that you said in the book?
Yeah, of course.
Were people like, Bobby, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Ah. What did you say? Well,
it's my life. I have the right to talk about it. And sorry.
Because I've written three books, and they have a very strict legal draft where they look through and say, well, you can't say that about that person. You can't say that about that person.
You're allowed to say the truth
mm-hmm.
completely and in its entirety. If they can prove in any way, shape, or form that didn't happen from their perspective,
gotcha.
Then they can sue you. But if it's the truth and they can't deny it or argue it, you're allowed to say it.
Okay.
Just so you know.
So I'll know for the future.
Is that good to know? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you're allowed to speak your truth.
Wow.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't like to hear it.
A lot of times they don't. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they don't. Yeah, especially when it's intimate details.
Right.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah. Usually.
You don't give a shit, though. You're just like, whatever.
I mean, I didn't set out to try and hurt someone's feelings or to piss anyone off. I just was telling my story
mm-hmm.
for real. I mean, trust and know that I could have gone way further with the book details and really pissed people off and hurt people's feelings, and I didn't on purpose. Like, I didn't do that.
Right, right, right.
Because you know, I didn't want to do that. But if anybody got their feelings hurt, I was like, be grateful that I didn't say what really went down when the, you know, like, so, you know.
Are you still friends with any of the guys from those times, Rains?
Yeah, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some not.
Yeah.
You know.
That's like ex-boyfriends and stuff, too. Some ex-girlfriends, you don't want to see them anymore anyways.
Yeah, like I have some ex-boyfriends I'm friends with and people in the book that I'm still friends with and some not, you know, so. Or some I still talk to, and after we talk, they talk shit behind my back and to my face. They're really nice because they're like, she talks. I'm going to be nice. And then, I don't
but
know.
You must be used to all that, like I said, after living in L.A. for so many years and being in showbiz for so many years. It's kind of just the way it is. Like you said, people talking behind your back. And
it still bothers me. Yeah. I'm still sensitive. I may have a hard exterior and be like, oh, those people. But, I mean, my truth is really obvious. Like, I get bothered by people who don't like me or hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. If somebody's looking for a fight, you got one in me. Like, for real. If you're seeking a fight, all you got to do is push and I'll push back. It's unfortunate for me. Like, but I am that girl.
Right.
And people are like, why do you even let it bother you? Why do you even do their level? Why do you even let that? I'm like, because I can't help it. It bothers me. I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it hurts my feelings. I can't help myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone talks shit or lies and starts something with me, I'm going to take up for myself
or
somebody I care about. I just will. You know, like, just ignore them. I can't help myself. I will not ignore it. I just do it. I just respond. I do. So, and everybody says that. Ignore them. I can't. You know, so.
I will scratch your eyes out.
I do. It's so bad. Everyone says, just ignore it. I can't help myself every time. So.
But, I mean, like you said, you have to have that kind of toughness to have longevity in this business.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's considered toughness. It's just, I just feel like I have to say my piece. I don't care what anyone thinks. Like, I have to defend what I think is right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when someone ignores it, even if it's social media, even if it's a nobody in whoever's eyes, even if it's a somebody, whatever it is, if I ignore it, I feel like it's, you know, ignored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like it has to be acknowledged. A person's like, oh, you're giving them what they want. They're trying to get your attention. Well, regardless, it needs to be addressed because they're wrong.
Right.
And they can believe whatever they want from this point on. I'm not going to continue engaging, but I will respond and give, you know, my truth. And they can take it and shove it up their ass afterwards. But, like, I'm going to respond with the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Because, you know, it's going to plant a seed somewhere to somebody.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Because when the truth is spoken, it lands on people who get it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and people who want to hate are going to take that truth and go like, oh, fuck her, she's full of shit, like whatever. And they're going to go be in the dark. And the people who, you know, get it are going to be like, oh, you know what? She's cool. Or, you know, I believe her.
Yeah.
So, and that matters to me. Mm-hmm. So.
What are you working on now?
All kinds of stuff. Like, I've been writing
reality
shows, and I just came up with the best idea for something today. I have to get it made, but I'll tell you about it later once it actually happens. But it was just like out of the blue. And I'm trying to work on a second book, hoping that it'll get picked up again.
More of your experiences?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to do a part two. They say that that's really not something that happens, but I still have so many more stories to tell.
I have three autobiographies.
Do you really?
It happens, yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
If you got good enough stories, people will get into it.
Right. Is it they're all self-published or?
No, through Penguin Books, Gotham Books.
You like them? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're good.
Okay.
You know?
I should check them out.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. What else? I have other stuff I can't even think of right now because you put me on the spot. But
tell me.
I don't know.
You're busy.
I am busy. I just can't think of what else I'm doing. Hosting a lot of stuff, doing that, hoping for a season 4. Oh, we just booked Après Ski on Bravo, the four of us. This is going to be crazy. We booked a ski show in Canada. We're filming at the end of this month, and it's going to be on Bravo. And I've never even seen snow. So
really?
This is going to be nuts. Yeah, it's a crazy like sports show in Canada where they do all kind of out of this crazy world skiing stuff.
What are you guys going to be doing?
They have all kind of stuff planned. And really what I'm going to be planned on doing is telling people to braid my hair in the bath and to drag me around in a sleigh and sing to me. And that I can't be doing anything to re-injure myself after my accident.
Right.
Because I really can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I need hot toddies.
Well, you know, après-ski is actually the official term for after skiing where you just go hang out in the lodge and drink.
That'll be me.
So there you go.
And I will be that girl. So that's going to be us, and I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be.
So we're going to be on Bravo. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And we are on Access TV right now for season 3. Hopefully they'll air the whole season. Yeah.
You're a busy girl.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be busier.
A busier.
Yeah. And I'm on the Steel Panther.
Right. Lexi's mom.
Lexi's mom's garage. I'm Lexi's mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
The hot MILF in the Steel Panther pantheon.
Yeah.
Final question. What's your favorite Warrant song?
Blind Faith.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah.
It's a great ballad.
Yeah. It's about me.
Is it?
It is.
Oh.
That's why I like it. Yeah.
Cool. Lyrics about you. Yeah, it's a great tune.
Yeah. Great band. I like that song.
Bobby, it's great talking to you.
Thanks. It was nice talking to you, too. And we made it.
And you made it.
And you got to go catch a flight.
Battlestar Galactica.
You're going to remember that, right?
I will. I'll always remember that.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Good. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thanks to the gorgeous and hilarious Bobby Brown for sharing so many great rock and roll stories with us. You can read so many more in her tell-all book, Dirty Rocker Boys. You can get that on Amazon. And please use the Talk Is Jericho links when you buy Bobby's book. You can find my Amazon links at podcastone.com. Click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page. Then hit the Talk Is Jericho button. I got Amazon links for the USA, UK, Canada A. Every time you use the Talk Is Jericho Amazon links, well, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to the show to help us cover production costs. You can buy just about anything you can think of on Amazon, and using the Talk Is Jericho Amazon links, it won't cost you anything extra. No hidden fees, extra charges. Just go to podcastone.com, click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk Is Jericho button. You got some extra money from Christmas. You got some people that gave you cash for Christmas. Go buy whatever you want at amazon.com and use the Talk Is Jericho links. You can also find all my great sponsors there as well, ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get 25% off all DDPY merch, and when you buy a max pack or a combo pack, you'll get a second one for just 50% off that original 25% off. Okay, and there's also CISO. Sign up at CISO.com and get 2 months free when you use the promo code podcast once. Hilarious stuff, man. The entire Monty Python series, give me a break. And of course, Geico, save money on car insurance and go do it now. All right, don't forget, March 15th, 2017, the biggest podcast ever when Mick Foley joins Talk Is Jericho. The biggest podcast ever, and that countdown rolls on, 73 days and counting. And speaking of big podcasts, Beyond the Darkness, huge addition to the Jericho Network on Podcast One. It is a certified hit. You guys are loving the show already, getting creeped out with some Christmas creepy stories. And the second episode just came out on Monday. More investigation into the Black Eyed Kids phenomenon and whether or not they might be aliens. Fascinating stuff. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis do a great job breaking it down, sharing some of the super creepy stories. They did it on their own show, Beyond the Darkness, Darkness Radio, that was here on Talk Is Jericho a few weeks ago. Go check that out. Go to iTunes and subscribe and stars if you haven't already, and leave Beyond the Darkness a 5-star rating and review. And go ahead and hit the subscribe button for all the other Jericho Network shows while you're there. Team Tiger Awesome, hilarious pop culture humor at its finest with Nick Mundy, Michael Trulli, and Clint Gage. They're out every Sunday. They did a great Christmas episode this past Sunday. It's a battle of the Christmas icons. No one's off limits. John McClane versus the Grinch. That's right, another Die Hard reference. John McClane versus the Grinch. Who would win? I guarantee you'll be laughing as hard as I did. And of course, Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus, that drops on Tuesdays. Get your PhD in wrestling psychology with two of the most brilliant minds in pro wrestling. They do a great discussion of today's biz. This week, is comedy in wrestling a good thing or a bad thing, among so many other things? They also do a great discussion of the ECW days and some of the ECW TV reports. Plus, Shane Douglas was their guest as well, and he just lets it loose. You know how crazy Shane is. Then there's the flagship show, Keep It 100 with Conan every Thursday. Conan, Disco, and KG bring the opinions, the funny, and the feuds. Feuds like Disco versus Cyrus. Cyrus appears on Keeping It 100 this week. They also got a great discussion about a lot of different things, including who's hot and who's not in the WWE between the WWE couples. Lots of great stuff on the Jericho Network. I aim to keep you entertained 5 or 6 days a week, 7 days a week maybe. Go subscribe on iTunes. Leave everyone on the Jericho Network a 5-star rating and review. Thank you so much for listening. Keep listening now for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next and coming up this Friday. He's controversial. He doesn't have a filter. He's live without a net. Teddy Teddy Hart, the maverick of the Hart family, finally makes his long-awaited appearance and debut here on Talk Is Jericho. A perfect way to set the New Year's table. Perfect way to bring in the new year with Teddy Hart from the Hart family this Friday on Talk Is Jericho. We'll see you then. Stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs, and happy holidays. Big yeah, boy. Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 ho.
You can download new episodes of Talk Is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.